Hello, everybody, and welcome to Basic Gospel. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and we have open lines right now at 1-800-677-9377. Again, that's toll-free, 1-800-677-9377. And this is your invitation to call or keep listening. You'll learn how the Basic Gospel intersects with your life every day. So if you have a Bible question, or if there's some issue you're facing that you'd like to talk about, call now, 1-800-677-9377. Whether you're calling or listening or both, the Word of God can help you experience true freedom and life in Jesus Christ. It's Basic Gospel. Hear it, believe it, live it. Now here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. We're talking about the new covenant, and there's a destination that God wants to take each and every one of us. It's recorded for us in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 through 11. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. So in the Old Testament, under the Mosaic covenant, there was a destination that God had in mind for the people. He had given a promise to Abraham that there was going to be this land. He was going to take his people to this land, the promised land. They were in bondage to the Egyptians for some 400 years. Then God raised up Moses. Moses convinced Pharaoh to let the people go. We know the miraculous story of the parting of the Red Sea. They go through the dry land. The Egyptians follow after. The waters cave in on them, and the Israelites are freed. They meet at a place called Mount Sinai. That's where that old covenant was given and ratified. But the whole purpose in escaping Egypt was to go to another place. It wasn't to wander in the desert for 40 years. It was to get to the promised land. And so it is with this new covenant. There's a destination. And it's not a place, it's a spiritual state. And that's a state of rest. There remains then a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For anyone who enters God's rest also rests from his own work, just as God did from his. Boy, we struggle. That's what we do in the desert. Mm-hmm. That's what we do in that wilderness. We try to live up to God's standards. We try to earn his acceptance. We try to earn his love. We try to get him to erase those black marks from beside our name, those black marks called sins. We try to do all sorts of things to appease him, but we're doing it in the energy of the flesh. We're doing it through human effort. And boy, that's a struggle, and it never ends. It's like that hamster on the wheel. You just keep spinning and spinning and spinning, and you get spiritually fatigued. You just get worn out. That's why Jesus said, "All you who are burdened and weary, come unto me. I will give you rest." That's what God has in mind. That's the destination that he wants each of us to get to. And it only happens through faith when we realize that what Jesus accomplished for us was enough.
Yeah.
That it satisfied God on our behalf concerning our sins. There's no more punishment. That we have been declared righteous in God's sight and have been given a new identity called child of God.
Right.
When we get to that point, boy, this just burden leaps off our shoulders, and we can finally rest. That inner conflict, that inner turmoil comes to an end. Are you there? Have you gotten to that destination? Do you want to get to that destination? God says it's available to you.
Yep.
The way you enter it is by faith,
in
Jesus Christ.
That's Basic Gospel, friends. That's what you hear each day on this broadcast. And we want to continue with this great message, and we want to share it with you, and we want you to share it with others as well. 1-800-677-9377. If you have that Bible question that you just can't quite find an answer to, or if you have some pressing issue in life that you'd like to discuss, why, we're here now. 1-800-677-9377, and we'd love for you to join us. 1-800-677-9377.
Thanks, Bob. We're going to go down to New Orleans and talk with Ann, listening to us on WLNO. Hi, Ann.
Hello. How you doing?
Doing well. How are you today, Ann?
I'm doing good.
Excellent.
I wanted to ask you about, here's so much pro and con about the Sabbath day that, you know, and it was originally Saturday, and we should keep it and all this, but I understood that now there's no certain day as a Sabbath day, that each day is holy, but I wonder, how do you feel about that? It just, when did it change, and how did it change?
Well,
the
Sabbath, according to Jewish law, and according to what the Word of God has to say, was always the seventh day of the week. On that seventh day, God rested. And so he said to keep that day holy. So that seventh day is a Saturday, and the Jews celebrated it starting at sundown on Friday night and going to sundown on Saturday. That was the time period that they kept holy. But as the book of Hebrews states, the law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. So that Sabbath, that keeping the Sabbath day holy, that fourth commandment, was merely a shadow of the good things that were coming, not the realities themselves. So that Sabbath day observance was foreshadowing this Sabbath rest that we could experience by faith in Jesus Christ, where we could rest from our works, trying to gain his love and acceptance, and just resting in what he's accomplished for us. And that state of rest is a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week experience. It's not just on a particular day. It's for us every single day.
Okay. So there's really no day of the Sabbath. Each day is just holy in the Lord or rest in the Lord. And because there's, like I say, here's a lot of people insist that we should keep that seventh day. That, you know, well, I know you heard that. Some people are very adamant that we should, it should be Sabbath, it should be on Saturday, and it should be kept like the Jews kept it. But I didn't think we had to do that anymore.
Well, we're no longer under the law.
And
the law, that Mosaic covenant, was really between God and the people of Israel. We live in a new covenant, and in this new covenant, we experience the reality of a relationship with Christ. And that relationship.
But the rest of the Ten Commandments, then we no longer keep those anymore? The Ten Commandments.
Well, and you have the Spirit of God living in you. Do you think the Spirit of God would ever lead you to steal something from a neighbor?
Certainly not.
Would he ever lead you to commit adultery?
No.
Would he lead you to bear false witness?
No, of course not.
Well, what's he gonna lead you to do? Well, concerning your neighbor, he's going to lead you to serve your neighbor and meet your neighbor's needs and to love your neighbor.
Yes, be kind to your neighbor.
Yeah, so in doing that, guess what? You're not going to steal from them.
Oh, okay. So instead of thou shalt not thou shalt, instead of these fleshy written laws, it's like the Bible says, it's written on, instead of fleshy laws, it's on our hearts, written in our hearts. It's more like a spiritual.
Right,
that's,
and it's, within, and it's the
spiritually, because you're going to do what's right.
It's the laws of faith, hope, and love. So as you abide in Christ, that faith has been written on your heart. As you learn to abide in Christ, to trust him, the byproduct of that is going to be love, both for God and for others. Well, in that love, you're not going to be doing all those things that the law prohibits.
Right.
If you're loving your husband, you're not going to be out committing adultery on him. If you love your neighbor, you're not going to be stealing from them. You're not going to be bearing false witness against them. It's just one of those byproducts. So keep your eyes on Jesus, abide in him, and you will see the fruit of his life being lived out through you.
Thank you.
You're welcome, man.
Hey, God bless you. Thank you.
Hey, you too.
That's just good stuff right there.
That's good stuff, and that's a great question on Ann's part, and it really gets to the heart and soul of this Christian life. You know, we talk a lot about salvation, and we talk about basic gospel in terms of salvation, the death, the burial, and resurrection of Christ. But that's not just about the conversion process.
Right.
That's
right.
Not just about repenting, turning away from the old, and being made alive by Jesus Christ. It's about life every single day.
Yeah.
The gospel is to be lived out, his death, burial, and resurrection lived out on a day-to-day basis, and it's done in this new covenant. And part of that is dying to the old, coming alive to the new.
Yeah.
That's part of living out this good news.
Absolutely.
And that's when it really becomes Good news to you.
And basic gospel.
Yes, indeed.
1-800-677-9377. The lines are wide open. Plenty of time remaining on the clock, friends. We want to hear from you. As I mentioned on the early broadcast last week, we have one reason for being here on a live broadcast. And, you know, Bob Christopher and I and Richard could come into the studio and we could record programs in advance. But, you know, that would not allow you the opportunity to participate. We're live because we want you to be a part of Basic Gospel. So give us a call, friends. 1-800-677-9377 and allow us to lead you into the Word of God for the answer and the solution in the person of Jesus Christ. It's just Basic Gospel.
Yes, indeed.
1-800-677-9377. Bob, I had a question from Katie, who lives in Aruba, as a matter of fact. She says, where in the Bible does it say the order of relationships? After God is spouse first and children after that, or what is that order?
Well, there's no place in the Word of God that spells out a order, but we see some importance that God places on certain relationships. I think the most important relationship that we can have as human beings is that of a relationship with a spouse, a relationship where you become one with another person, one in body, one in soul. That's what's called marriage. And why that's so vitally important as far as God is concerned is because it's a reflection of the relationship that Jesus Christ has with his church. As Paul talks about marriage in Ephesians chapter 5, he spends all this time about wives being in submission to their husbands and husbands loving their wives as Christ loves the church. And then he says something that's really strange. He says, but I'm not really talking about marriage. I'm talking about Christ and his church. So he puts an incredible amount of importance on that relationship between husband and wife. I think in a household, that is the most important relationship in a household.
Right.
If you want to be a good parent to your kids, dads, love your wives. If you want to be a good mom to your kids, moms, love and respect your husbands.
Yeah.
When they see that, there's a security that comes to them. They're at ease because mom and dad love each other, and they take comfort in that. If you want to wreck their lives, just start fighting with each other,
right,
and you'll see the damage take place in the kids. So it is a vitally important relationship. So I think it trumps every other relationship that's out there.
Absolutely.
So it's God. That's the center of your life. It's his life that you share in through faith in Jesus Christ, and that's to be lived out in all other relationships, marriage being the most important.
Absolutely. Well, again, time on the clock and open lines, 1-800-677-9377. Want to hear from you.
Well, let's go to Las Cruces, New Mexico, and talk with Delilah. Hi, Delilah.
Hello.
Welcome.
I have a question about what happened with the dinosaurs.
Well, what do you think happened to them?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Well, you know, a lot of what we know about, quote, dinosaurs is very limited. There's been some bones and things that have been uncovered. They're very large. The scientists have put them together to say, hey, this is what these animals would have looked like. This is what their habits would have been, those sort of things. So there's a limited amount of information about dinosaurs, but they would have been a part of the creative order. They're just extinct animals at this particular point in time, as are other organisms or other species of animals that were once here that are no longer here. So how that extinction took place, we don't know. Maybe in the flood. That seems to be the most probable and likely answer, that once the world was flooded, then dinosaurs just kind of were written out of history, so to speak.
Yes.
Does that make sense to you?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. Well, it's an interesting study. There's You know, one thing that we really need to pay attention to when it comes to discussion on dinosaurs, there's this underlying issue, and that underlying issue is the age of the world. Is it a young Earth or is it an old Earth? And so the dinosaur discussion really ushers in this old world idea that the world is billions of years old. Well, with that, attached to that old Earth discussion is the idea of evolution. And that's what most scientists want to really bring into the discussion. It's not the dinosaurs. It's not the age of the Earth. It's the fact that we evolved, that there is no God. That's what they're ultimately getting at, that we evolved, there is no God. What we see, it just happened, and we are basically the captains of our own destiny. It's what we choose. And so we're trying to write God out of the picture, but yes, we just can't do that. So we know that God exists. We know that he's made himself known to us in the person of Christ Jesus. So anything in science has to eventually point us right back to him. And I think that's where a lot of the upper echelon of scientists are going today, that they just can't get away from that fact that there had to be intelligent design behind this whole universe. No matter how much the evolutionists want to divert us from that fact, it's a fact that you just can't deny. God exists.
Yeah.
Okay, Delilah?
Hey, thank you so much.
Hey, thanks for your great question today. Sure appreciate it. Well, let's go to Lowell, Mass. And talk with Catherine, listening to us on WDER. Hi, Catherine.
Hi.
Welcome.
I was listening to your call just now, and I have thought long and hard about evolution, and I have to agree with you.
Well, I appreciate that. I actually am a biology major, education-wise. I got my degree in biology, so
I spent
quite a bit of time looking at evolution and studying it. And I think, like I said, if you're going to study science and if you're going to follow the evidence, that evidence is going to lead you back to God. There's no other place that it's going to take you.
Many years when I did not believe in any kind of a God, and now I'm stepping back to him, and he's coming back to me.
Yeah, isn't that great? So have you come to know Jesus personally?
Yes, I have. Praise God.
That's wonderful, Catherine. Well, how can we help you today?
Leading along the scientific line, the story of Mark chapter 7, Jesus heals a deaf and mute man.
Okay. And so what do you want to know about that?
Well, it's a historical story. Now, some people say we could take this story as it is, like Jesus healing a deaf person, and we can also take it as on a deeper spiritual level, where Jesus opens the ears of people who are deaf spiritually to hear the word of God. What's your take on that?
Well, I think it's an actual story, and here's why I say that, Catherine. Suppose in Lowell, Mass., some guy shows up and starts making just outlandish claims about himself, that he was sent by God, that he was one with God. If you've seen me, you've seen God the Father. Suppose somebody entered into your city. Well, you would
and
start.
There are people like that in Lowell.
there might be a few down here in Dallas as well, but suppose, Catherine, that there was something about him that right. really made you stop and wonder. And yeah. then there's this guy everybody knows in the little town there, and he's deaf and he's blind, and this guy comes and touches him, and opens up his ears.
He touches his ears, and he like spits on his tongue, and then he can hear and speak.
That's exactly right. So at that point, what are you going to say about that guy making those claims? There's something to him. We've never, ever, ever seen anything like this. And you know, until this happened, there had never been a person whose ears had been opened in that way. This was a messianic miracle. The Jews believed if somebody came and opened the ears of a deaf person from birth, deaf and mute, that would give claim or that would substantiate his claims to be Messiah. So
it's so funny that you would say the Messiah, because I listen to you on it's broadcast on WDER radio in Derry, New Hampshire, and they explained to me about the messianic prophecies, and they said all of the messianic prophecies come true. That's how you can tell the true ones from the false ones.
That's exactly right. And so this was just a proof to those kind of watching that there was something about this man named Jesus. The fact that he was able to do that, the fact that he was able...
All of his promises come true.
That's exactly right. So it helped identify him as the true Messiah to the people. It made them step back, and that's what he said. People were overwhelmed with amazement. He has done.
They said people say, "Well, if Jesus came back today, he would be in a mental institution or this or that." But no, all of the messianic, all of his promises come true. They have come. They are coming true.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed.
And praise God. And I never got that until it was about 2 months ago. I came back to Christ and got saved.
Well, that's wonderful, Catherine. Well, we sure appreciate your call today. Thanks for participating on the program. Yeah. Let me do this. Let me put you on hold. We have a CD I would love to put in your hands. It's called The Basic Gospel Journey. And since you have are coming back, this will really help, I think, put a solid foundation underneath your feet, okay?
That would be wonderful. Thank you so much. And God bless you and your ministry.
Well, thank you, Catherine. Thanks for your call today. You hold the line.
Bob, take just a few seconds, because this is the final day we're going to offer Basic Gospel Journey. Take just a few seconds and elaborate just a little bit about what it's about.
Well, this new covenant that we live in today is just the most exciting news, the most exciting place to be that anyone could imagine. So often we fail to realize that we have a brand new covenant with God. We have a new relationship with Him. That's what this CD is all about. That's why we call it The Basic Gospel Journey. It really lays out the foundation of this new relationship that we have with Jesus Christ. It's a life changer. It's a game changer. It really is.
Absolutely. Well, thanks, Bob. You know, friends, in line with that, through the years, this ministry has been supported through the prayers and gifts of our listeners, people who have heard truth and who responded to it. Today, it's no different. Your support is vital if we're to remain on the air with the good news. If you can help at this time, please go online to basicgospel.net or phone 1-800-727-2828 and join us with your most generous gift. Basic Gospel, it's the message God wants us all to hear. Again, that's basicgospel.net or phone 1-800-727-2828. And when you do, today for the final time, as we've said, we'll send you a copy of our CD called The Basic Gospel Journey. It's yours for a gift of any amount to Basic Gospel. But while you're online at basicgospel.net, be sure to click subscribe in the upper menu to join our email list, because starting on tomorrow's broadcast, you'll want to be on that list, as we'll be sending out a day-by-day synopsis via email to everyone who is on the list to preview our 23-day study on Revelation. So click subscribe at basicgospel.net, and you'll be all set for that exciting study, again, beginning tomorrow on Basic Gospel. And, gosh, thanks to all of those of you who called to be a part of this broadcast. If you didn't get through, call early in the broadcast tomorrow. I want to hear from you then. So until then, for Bob Christopher, Richard Piper, all the ministry staff, Bob Davis inviting you to join us again tomorrow at the same time for another live edition of Basic Gospel as we delve into the Revelation.